Good morning. Today is May 1st. It is a beautiful sunny day. It's supposed to get up to, 63, 65 today, something like that. Absolutely wonderful to see sunshine, to see the ground drying up. And as we definitely see springtime coming, the grass is greening, and it's looking nice out here. So, I got done last week talking about living a new life. I knew there was a whole lot more that needed to be said on that topic, though I didn't really have plans on I rarely have plans on Sunday what I'm going to be speaking on the next Sunday. Very, very rare. But come Wednesday night, got over here and Jerry says, "Are we going to change the sign?" I said, "Nope. We're going to stick on the same topic and keep going with that." So this is Living New Life 2. As we continue on, I do want to make reference one of the passages we read last week. We're going to read part of it again, and that's 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to read verses 16 through 19. It says, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Says right there, as new creations in Christ, as new creatures, we have this task, this ministry of reconciliation that's been given to us. And just as Jesus reconciled the world to God through himself, we are called to be pointers. We are called to be signposts, directing people to Jesus. Having that word of reconciliation, that encouragement to reach out to people around us. To tell of a God who touches and changes lives. To tell of a God who pardons our iniquity, cleanses us from unrighteousness, imparts his righteousness to us, that we might boldly come before the throne of grace, that we might boldly come into the presence of the Lord, knowing that it's not our righteousness that gets us there, but the righteousness of Jesus. We are called to have that ministry of reconciliation in reaching out to people and drawing near to people to show them the love and grace and mercy of God that has been so impactful in my life and in your life. To be an encourager, be a cheerleader, to basically be the town crier. "Let me tell you what God's done for me." Okay, some of us, that's not our personality. Yet we have opportunities, we have situations where we encounter people, where we come come together with people. Come, you know, whether it's, you know, you're at a dinner and there's somebody at the dinner, you know, with you. Say it's some sort of corporate banquet or whatever the situation is. Some reason why you happen to be gathered together. It could be a company party. It could be a coworker. It could be just something going on. But we encounter people, and God gives us opportunities to share his love with them. And sometimes it's just a little thing. Sometimes it's quite a bit, but sometimes it's just a little thing. And even just this past week, I ran into the guy who is the CEO for the company that owns the campground. And I don't even remember what started the conversation. I don't remember how we got there. But I do remember saying, "And it's all because of Jesus." And he says, "Amen." And the person with him says, "Okay." But it's an opportunity to say something, an opportunity to point toward God. Any good anybody sees in me is because of Jesus, because I know who I was. But praise God, he has changed me, and he's continuing to change me. In Colossians 1, beginning with verse 9, Paul talking about the talking to the church at Colossae. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Stop right there for just a second. Praying for other people. Paul said, this is what I do. We pray for you. Do we pray for other people? Do we lift up people? I've said this many times before, that as we drive down the road, if we happen to pass a church, we say, "Lord, I ask that you'd touch them and bless them. I ask, Father, that you would pour your Spirit out upon them. I ask, Lord, that you would guide them by your Spirit to teach them and to guide them and lead them and use them and be glorified in them." Or do we just keep going? And honest, sometimes I do, often I don't. But it's something we're called to do, is lift up one another and encourage one another. So just as Paul said to the church at Colossae, since we've heard about this, we do not cease to pray for you. Do we continually lift people up? And if we don't, we should. That's walking out that new life. That's living that new life. Doing things different because we are different than we were before. We were, before the Lord, we were all, by nature, by definition, self-centered. But if we're God-centered and other-centered, if we're looking for others' benefits instead of our own, knowing that God is going to take care of me. He has proved Himself faithful time and time and time again. God is going to take care of me. My job, what I'm called to do, is to reach out and see how I can help somebody else, how I can encourage somebody else, how I can bless somebody else. Where was I? Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. We're strengthened because of God's power in us. For all patience and long suffering with joy. Stop right there a minute. We are strengthened by God's power so that we can be patient. You have a problem being patient? Uh-huh. What's the solution? Draw closer to the Lord. Trust Him for His patience, that He's the one who gives us the power to be patient, to be long-suffering, with joy. Not just enduring, but enduring, trusting that God is doing something wonderful in it. Not just going through situations, going through life, but recognizing that God is at work in us. God is at work through us. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Everything we have is a gift from God. Verse 13, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood in the forgiveness of sins. Paul starts this by saying, I want you to walk worthy of the vocation for which you are called. Walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him and being fruitful in every good work. How we walk, how we live our lives becomes the testimony, becomes the signpost that the people around us see. That's what they're looking at. How do you react when things are difficult? How do you react when things are going well? How do you react on a day-to-day basis? Is there a difference between how we act and how other people act? Is there a difference between how a believer faces the situation and how an unbeliever faces the situation? Or are we just like everybody else? Or do we let God change us day by day, glory by glory, moment by moment? Hebrews 12, starting with verse 11, says, "Now, no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Many of you know, some of you know this. I don't know how many people know this. I have 3 scars on my upper thigh from a beating I got when I was 7 years old. But I do not play with a can of gas and pack of matches anymore. Sometimes the lessons we learn in this life are difficult to learn. They are painful to learn. Yet, it was a loving parent, sinful, but a loving parent, who taught me that lesson. the things that we go through as we go through our lives. Sometimes the Lord has to correct us, straighten us out, straighten out our attitude, straighten out our demeanor, straighten out our actions. And no chastening seems joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather let it be healed. As God is working in us, look for ways to encourage not only others, but also ourselves. The scripture says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to follow your ways. Lord, guide and direct me. Lord, this is a difficult season I'm going through. But I know that you are still God over all, that you love me. You have me engraved in the palm of your hands. Father, I don't understand what's happening, but I trust you and I know. And encourage ourselves as we go through difficult times, as we go through difficult situations. Because we know, not only from Scripture, but also from past experience, that God is the one who has brought us this far. And as He's brought us this far, He hasn't brought us this far to leave us here. He's brought us this far to continue to guide and direct us, to lead us in the paths of righteousness, to work in our lives, so that we might reflect the glory of the Father to the world around us. Verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. There are churches all over the nation, probably all over the world, where somebody got offended with somebody else. And rather than deal with it according to Scripture, allowed it to fester. It's a big reason for church splits. That's a big reason why this congregation went from its high of about almost 50 people under the former pastor down to 5 and then down to 4. It happens. It happens in churches. People get offended. People get hurt. And rather than go and try to be reconciled, try to go rather than be healed, it's like, well, they know what they did. Scripture tells us when you come before the Lord to bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift on the altar. First go be reconciled to your brother and then return to give the gift. If we know somebody has something against us, if we know that there's a division in a relationship, we are called to approach them and to reach out to them. It's a hard thing to do. And sometimes it's rejected. But it's incumbent on each of us, to, in obedience to the Word, to reach out and to go to them first. And this is all walking out this new life. This is all not doing what the world does. Not holding on to a grudge, holding on to an offense. But to try and bring healing, to try and bring restoration. Because God is the one we're trying to serve, not ourselves. That root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, and by this many be defiled. Lord, help us. Romans 12, beginning with verse 9, says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging and diligent, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of men. the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I don't know about your Bible, but in this passage, in my Bible, when you pull it up, it's got a little heading up there that says, "Live like a Christian." This is what we do, what we're called to do. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be kindly affectioned one to another. In brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Be more concerned about someone else's well-being than I am about my own. Because God is taking care of me. God is working in me. My job, my calling, the expectation the Lord has on me in being His hands and feet is to look out for other people, to care for other people, to love other people with the love that He has given me, to comfort other people with the comfort He has given me. How we live out this new life needs to be a reflection showing what God has done in us. Again, in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We keep hearing this, to walk worthy of the vocation which you are called, to walk worthy of the Lord, to live out our lives showing who God is in our lives, showing the change that has taken place. This living new life means turning away from the things of the past and walking on, knowing that in Christ we are new creations. And how we relate to the people around us, how we interact with people, needs to show God's love through us. That each and every one of us are called to do that. Praise God. And finally, 2 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 21. He's just got done saying in the Master's house there are many vessels. Some are honorable, some are dishonorable. It says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," that's the dishonorable, "he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Stop right there for a minute. He says, pursue these things with our brothers and sisters. Encouraging one another, strengthening one another, reaching out to one another. Met one of the new work campers down at the campground this past week. And, mentioned that I pastor the church up here. And, "Hey, I want to hear some more." Praise God. A door opens. Another brother in the Lord. Never met him until this week. But an opportunity to share, and an opportunity to encourage, an opportunity to lift him up, an opportunity to come together and sharpen one another and encourage one another and strengthen one another. Praise God, it's a wonderful thing. Verse 23, "But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare from the devil, having been taken captive to him by him to do his will." In humility correcting others. In humility reaching out to people. It has to come from the love of God in us, recognizing that were it not for Jesus' shed blood on the cross, were it not for the Holy Spirit directing me, I'd just still be a mess. If I was alive at all. Everything short of burning in hell is the tender mercies of God. I know what I deserved. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, each and every person. So we are called, as we reach out to other people, even those who are on the outside, even those who don't know Him, to be humble in our approach, to be gracious, to be loving, pointing the way to Jesus, pointing the way to Him who can change a life, who can change a heart. We can't change people's hearts. We can't change their minds. All we can do is show them the grace and love and show them what God has done for us. And be more concerned about their well-being than our own. Living this new life, laying down my own goals, laying down my own ambitions, laying down my own dreams to seek His face and to draw close to Him. Recognizing I'm bought with a price. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm not my own. I belong to Him. Praise God. And because I belong to Him, I'm eager to do what He's called me to do. Okay, I'm not very good at it, but I'm eager to be. Because we're all called to draw closer day by day, to seek His face, to allow Him to touch us and change us and use us. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We do thank You, Father, that You've called us to live new life, to be different than we were before, to recognize that in Christ we are new creations. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. And we are called to walk out this new life in humility, walk out this new life in graciousness, walk out this new life in love, to show Your grace and mercy to this generation that You've put us in. You've called us to be Your ambassadors in this time, in this place. So, Father, we know that You who have called it, You have given us the assignment, have also equipped us. And that You who began the good work in us are faithful to complete it. So, Father, we give praise and thanks. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Father, for these opportunities. We thank You, Father, for Your graciousness and for Your love. We thank You, Lord, that You are at work. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.